This is Men's Health Matters, hosted by the fans Timmy Hall, the show that's dedicated to helping the men of Central Ohio live happier and healthier lives. Listen on 1460 and check for more episodes at 971thefan.com.
And welcome to Men's Health Matters, all of you fine men of Columbus. I am Timmy Hall. We got a nice little Saturday morning here on 1460 ESPN. And if you have checked into these shows before, you know that our sole purpose is to try to get all the men in our community to focus on their overall health a little bit more and just some of the things that can happen to our men as we continue to get older and go through life. We've been talking about prostate cancer. We've been talking about side effects, treatments, erectile dysfunction, how that can come up and get you. And we're also just trying to make it known that you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be standoffish or scared to talk about it. That's the purpose of this show. If you are maybe thinking about calling your doctor because you're wondering if something might be up, do that. Go ahead and follow through with that urge, with that feeling to contact your doctor. That's always a great place to start. And the cool thing about this episode is, like last week, we're going to be joined by an expert doctor who can answer a lot of the questions that you may have, and I'm going to try to ask all of the right questions. So once again, Dr. Rick Taylor from the Central Ohio Urology Group, he's joining us for another episode of Men's Health Matters. Dr. Taylor, how are you doing this week? We continue to roll through spring. Spring football is in the air. It's everywhere. Baseball is starting up. It's just a great time to be alive right now, right?
Oh, yeah. It's the second best time of year, right after fall. You know what I mean? But it's all just right around the corner, man. We're on the cusp.
You know, I'm glad you said that because I think I agree with you. I might actually be a fall guy first. Now, we just sort of moved out of the season. As a sports fan, I'm Mr. Mm-hmm. March Madness. People that listen mm-hmm. to my show, listen to the Buckeye show on The Fan, I'm college basketball, a purist there. But beyond that, if we're talking seasons, when it's Halloween time and you roll that into Thanksgiving, then football becomes a big thing. That crisp, cool air. I'm with you, man. Yep. I think autumn, fall is tops.
Oh, yeah. Number one in my book by far.
All right. So some of the discussion that we are going to get into, and again, he's Dr. Rick Taylor, and we're very proud to have him with us. First off, how about if people go back and after the show today want to listen to the very last episode that we had, last Saturday's episode, we had Cliff Pollock with us, and it's always great when people can hear from real people that have suffered from something like prostate cancer. And Cliff was just so great, wasn't he? I think he helped out a lot of men in this town last week.
No doubt. Yeah, he was wonderful. Really did a great job kind of outlining his experience and what he was, you know, willing to share with everybody, I think was just really fantastic. So, you know, I can talk until I'm blue in the face about all of these different things, but sometimes hearing it from a guy like Cliff, it really makes all the difference. So really appreciate him being on.
It was really cool. And one of the things, and we were talking to him off the air, he was lucky that he did not have to suffer a whole lot from male incontinence. And we're going to talk about male continence. So the other form of that, like we just said, what is, for starters, I think a lot of people know already, but why don't you tell us anyway, what is urinary incontinence, for starters?
Sure. So, you know, really urinary incontinence is just any involuntary leakage of urine. You know, and this can happen for a variety of reasons. We might have stress incontinence. That's what we would commonly refer to as the sort of coughing, lifting, laughing kind of leakage where guys are straining and some urine leaks out. Sometimes we have urge incontinence. That's the got to get to the bathroom right away. And if we're not going to be able to get there in the next 10 seconds, we're going to have leakage because we're just not able to hold the bladder. And sometimes we have mixed incontinence. We have a little bit of both, a little stress incontinence and a little bit of urge incontinence. So unfortunately, this is something that doesn't get talked about very often for men, but is a very common problem for them to experience.
I have never heard anybody talk about this.
Yeah.
And that's the God's honest truth, and I can understand why, and that's what the show is for. That's also what the website edcure.org is for. That's what your webinars are for as well, right?
Absolutely. Yep. That's what it's all about is just kind of getting the information out there and letting guys know how common this is and letting them know about the treatment options that we have available to us, because, you know, you can't watch television for more than 10 minutes without seeing a commercial for either Viagra or incontinence pads. Right.
Yeah.
And why is that the case? Because these things are so common. We just don't talk about it enough. So this is great.
And then all of the younger dudes that are listening, they think, oh, well, that's I'm never going to get to that. Right. Everyone probably thinks it's never going to happen to me. Right. Until it does. And then you have to address it.
Exactly right. We were just talking in kind of our last episode about how the average age that men are diagnosed with prostate cancer, for example, is about 66. Well, I can tell all the young men that are listening in today, and the old guys, I'm sure, will agree with me, 66 is going to come up and hit you just like that, you know, before you know it. So these are things that unfortunately very commonly do affect our lives.
And 66, in my opinion, is not very old. There is there is a lot of good life to live after that. So you don't have to be, embarrassed, even though you might think that it is. You know what? I mean, especially when you talk to your doctor, that's the other thing. If it does embarrass you, well, that's fine. Hopefully one day it won't. Your doctor is not someone that you have to be embarrassed around. Like, that's
absolutely
who. I mean, how many times has someone just stood in front of you completely naked, right? It's just nothing about it. Gosh. It's not a thing. It doesn't matter.
It's not a thing. It's not a problem at all. And you know, I'll tell you the other thing that I hear from guys in the office very regularly I'm happy that they say it to me, but it always is a little upsetting as well, is they often thank me for making it so easy for them to talk about these difficult issues. Right. And that just means that unfortunately, sometimes maybe they've had interactions where it wasn't as easy. And so that's really what we do in urology, you know, and that's where seeking out a urologist, someone who is specially trained to be a participant in this pathway of improvement is really all about. And that's what we're here for. You know, we think about as we get a little bit older, the risk of leakage increases. Well, that's because unfortunately the causes of leakage that are common for us as guys become more common as we get older. So prostate enlargement becomes more common as we get older. Prostate cancer and the treatments, we've talked previously about surgery and radiation for prostate cancer. Well, these things unfortunately commonly cause some difficulty in controlling the urine and are a common reason why guys may end up having to talk to us about these issues.
Dr. Taylor, just back there, you were talking about how many different types of urinary incontinence there are. You mentioned stress urinary incontinence, SUI. You can shorten that and go with, I love all the abbreviations that we have. It's a good thing you've done in,
sure,
in medicine. It was big on the abbreviations. What are some of the causes of SUI?
Sure. So stress urinary incontinence is most commonly caused by surgery, radiation, anything that affects what's called the external urethral sphincter. You know, if you have to pee real bad, but you're not there in the bathroom and you kind of squeeze down on that muscle to prevent yourself from leaking, you're squeezing that external urethral sphincter. Well, the problem is that sphincter muscle is about a millimeter away from the prostate gland. And so anything that we as urologists might do to the prostate gland, whether it's surgery for enlarged prostate, radiation or surgery for prostate cancer, carries with it the risk of damaging that muscle and causing stress incontinence or SUI.
So what? How do you treat that then?
Sure. So there's all kinds of different options. So typically the first thing that we start with is what guys naturally often do on their own, and that's lifestyle modification. If we're having trouble with leakage at certain times of day, well, we might limit what we're drinking at those times of day. Of course, we referenced earlier these incontinence products that we see advertised on television. There are, of course, pad clamps that sometimes we teach guys how to place outside of the penis that basically obstruct the urethra tube and prevent leakage. Sometimes we think about pelvic floor muscle exercises, what are commonly called Kegel exercises, where guys strengthen those muscles. And then there are other long-term successful options like the male sling or artificial urinary sphincter, which is really the gold standard fix for stress urinary incontinence.
All right, we're going to talk a lot more. So everybody that is out there listening, do not go anywhere. We're going to have much, much more on this issue as Men's Health Matters continues.
Did you know that diabetes, heart disease, and prostate cancer procedures can contribute to erectile dysfunction? Many men aren't aware of this or of all the treatment options that a board-certified urologist can offer. Understand your options and learn where you can find an ED specialist in Central Ohio to help. Visit edcure.org to get the facts and find a urologist who can offer treatment options that work when pills and injections don't. Again, that's edcure.org, sponsored by Boston Scientific.
And welcome back to this edition of Men's Health Matters. I'm Timmy Hall, and we're pleased to be joined with Dr. Rick Taylor. He's our expert doc. He's got all the answers. We got the questions. He's got all the answers to how we can live a healthier life and keep enjoying this fine city here in Columbus, Ohio, that we get to live in every single day. It's a beautiful Saturday out there. I'm sure everybody's got a lot of fun things planned with their families, so I hope you're going to have a wonderful rest of your Saturday and Sunday coming up tomorrow. And Dr. Rick Taylor, he's with the Central Ohio Urology Group. And, you know, one of the things we were talking about in off the air before this taping is age range, right? And we're talking about prostate cancer, and we touched on urinary incontinence, which is one of those touchy subjects that not a lot of people like to talk about, which is a side effect. And we keep telling people to start going to their doctor, right? Because symptomatically, prostate cancer is just not something that you feel coming, right? And so you gotta go, and you gotta make sure that you're seeing somebody.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely the case, and that's one of the big dangers about prostate cancer, is that if it starts to show symptoms, unfortunately, sometimes it means the disease is pretty advanced, and so that's why PSA blood testing, a simple blood test that guys get done typically once a year, starting around age 45 or 50, most commonly, although sometimes we check them for even younger guys. For a whole variety of reasons, but that's the best way for guys to be screened and evaluated for prostate cancer.
I mean, most diseases have symptoms. I mean, is there an answer for that? You know, why is prostate cancer something that you can never feel coming along?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, we think of the prostate as being made up of essentially two, what we call zones. There's a peripheral zone, which sort of is the outer edge of the prostate gland. That's the part that we feel. You know, if guys have to have a rectal exam, a prostate exam, that's what we're feeling, is that peripheral zone. That's the place where prostate cancer tends to grow. And so the central zone, or the middle of the prostate, which surrounds the urethra tube, typically not involved by prostate cancer. And so any symptoms that might develop, any urinary symptoms that we might see, typically is not going to happen because of the physical location of prostate cancer growth.
So that's really interesting. Thank you for the breakdown right there. As we get back into what we were talking about in the first segment, and one of the things that I think people have heard about might not know what it is quite, a sling. What is a sling, and how does that work?
Yeah, so slings have been around for decades at this point, and really what we're thinking about with the male sling is a soft piece of mesh that is used to reposition the urethra tube. It's placed underneath the urethra tube and restores the support to the urethra tube that is lost after prostate cancer surgery. So a really nice option for some guys who have leakage, particularly after prostate cancer surgery.
How difficult is it to get a sling? You know, is it something that will hurt? Like how do you go about that?
Sure. So from a procedural standpoint, typically it's something that we do actually as an outpatient. Most guys go home the same day that they have the procedure. Guys do go to sleep with an anesthetic for typically about 45 minutes or so. We make a little opening in the skin, kind of behind the scrotum. And through that opening, we pass typically it's the Boston Scientific Advance XP sling that we place, which just again restores that support that's lost. We close up the skin with dissolvable stitches, so there's no stitches or anything that need to be removed. Sometimes guys wear a temporary catheter at most just overnight for one night, sometimes not at all. The nice thing about a sling is that it's going to restore our ability to control our urine essentially right away. So we go to sleep with a problem, effectively we wake up without it. That can be a real advantage.
What is this thing, abbreviations again, right? AUS. What is that, artificial urinary sphincter? Tell us about that.
Sure. So the artificial urinary sphincter has for several decades now been the gold standard management or fix for urinary leakage, again, particularly after prostate cancer surgery, but it's not only used for that circumstance. The artificial urinary sphincter is essentially made up of three parts. There's a cuff that wraps around the urethra tube that at rest is filled with saline, or essentially saltwater solution, that closes off the urethra tube to prevent leakage. That cuff is connected by some tubing to a pump that goes in the scrotum. And when guys need to urinate, what they do is squeeze that little pump, which we can feel through the skin of the scrotum. That opens up the cuff and allows us to urinate normally. There's a little reservoir that holds and internal that nobody knows. Nobody knows it's there except for the guy who has it.
I'm wondering, when you start breaking down these different options, what's the most common question? Like when you're talking about the sling or the AUS, like what is the most common question? Like they want to know what's like the quickest and easiest and the best way to cure the incontinence. Like is there any real difference in option that you would persuade patients to go with?
Sure. No, that's absolutely the question. And fundamentally, guys just want to know what's going to work and what's going to get me dry, because it's miserable to be walking around, obviously, with these problems. And a lot of it kind of comes down to how severe the leakage is and what type of treatment a guy may have had in the past. There are certain types of treatment, for example, for prostate cancer, where we might choose not to place a sling because of some potential risks after the procedure. For guys who are leaking quite a bit, guys who are, unfortunately, in my office, very common to meet guys who are going through 3, 4, 5 depends a day. And if we're leaking to that significant degree, then we would think more about the sphincter as a more effective option. So really, it has a lot to do with how severe the leakage is.
Sure.
And what treatments guys may have had in the past.
Sure. So like what's the downtime if you need to get an AUS, if you're going to go with that option? How difficult of a procedure is it? Something that's a weekend and you're back on your feet and you're out and about. What's that situation?
Sure. So the AUS is also typically done either as an outpatient or with just a single night's stay in the hospital. Very similar to the sling. We make a little opening in the skin underneath the scrotum. And that's how we place the cuff that goes around the urethra tube. And then we typically make a second opening in the skin in the very low part of the belly or the upper part of the scrotum to place the pump and what's called the pressure regulating balloon, which holds on to the saline solution when the cuff is open. Again, all the skin is closed up with dissolvable stitches, and we typically keep a catheter in overnight for one night in most cases. So in terms of kind of downtime, typically we remove the catheter the first postoperative day. And the thing about the AUS that guys should be aware of is that on purpose, I'm going to lock the sphincter in an open position after the procedure. And the reason for that is guys need a little bit of time, maybe 4 to 6 weeks or so to heal before they're going to feel comfortable squeezing the pump that we need to squeeze in order to urinate for that first month or 6 weeks after the surgery. And then in the office, we activate the sphincter simply by squeezing the pump. Most of my guys that have an AUS are off work for around a week or so. If I operate midweek, a guy might go back to work the following Monday, depending, of course, on what kind of job he has. If he has a job with lots of heavy lifting, then we might be out for a week and a half or 2 weeks. But typically, it's around in that neighborhood.
All right, everybody, we're going to have much more, some more questions and answers about this topic as we continue on. It's Men's Health Matters.
If you have erectile dysfunction, you deserve to learn about all treatment options without an upfront fee. ED is a medical condition. Insurance should be discussed and accepted. Board-certified urologists offer all treatment options from pills and injections to an outpatient procedure. Consult with an ED specialist, not a men's clinic offering just one treatment option. Go to edcure.org to get more information and to find a urologist in your area. Again, that is edcure.org. Sponsored by AMS Men's Health, a part of Boston Scientific.
And welcome back to all of you fine men out there in the city of Columbus. It's another edition, an episode of Men's Health Matters, and we've been talking in this episode, and we had him on last week as well, so you can go to 971thefan.com and click on the other shows tab and find the show, Men's Health Matters, and all the episodes are going to be up there, even the ones that we did a couple years ago, too. So there's a lot of things that are stocked up in there. Dr. Rick Taylor from Central Ohio Urology Group, he is joining us today. And we've been talking about that subject here, and you've been going through all, you've been answering a lot of questions for us, and we certainly appreciate it as to what can you do to really tackle the issue of urinary incontinence. We're trying to get back to continence in that regard. So thank you, Doc, for everything that you've told us so far in this episode.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Tim. I think it's a very important topic, and I'm glad we're having the opportunity to share this information with guys here in Central Ohio.
Yeah, I just, you know, you being a urologist, I think that's another thing we haven't talked about in a good long while. Why is it really important to see a specialist like yourself?
You know, I think one of the things that's intimidating about the healthcare system for guys is they don't often know kind of where to turn. And so we're sure. So blessed in Central Ohio to have such great family doctors, some such great primary care doctors, and guys should always, I think it's always appropriate to start that conversation with a doc that they have that kind of relationship with. But as a urologist, of course, I'm a specialist at helping guys through these problems, at offering all the different treatment options, not just pill options, but other more advanced therapies. And even under the umbrella of urologists, just like not every urologist treats prostate cancer, well, not every urologist is going to, for example, perform an AUS procedure or be comfortable talking about a penile implant or a male sling or some of the things that we've talked about. So really seeking out guys that specialize, women that specialize in that kind of work can be really helpful.
You talk about a urologist. What's the difference between a urologist and a prosthetic urologist?
Yeah, sure. Great question. So a prosthetic urologist is a urologist who has done advanced training in prosthetic work. You know, Henry Ford figured out, you know, well over 100 years ago that the best way to produce cars was for one guy to do the same job over and over again. And sometimes as surgeons, it's taken us a little bit of time to come around to realize that that's in fact the case. But those of us that do a lot of prosthetic urology, generally we see great outcomes for our patients. We're comfortable doing these procedures and taking guys through the whole process.
I can't believe that we got a Henry Ford drop here on Men's Health Matters.
There it is.
Let's just do the last 7 minutes about cars, right? And just really that's what the men out there really want to talk about, engines and cars, and right. And we're trying to keep everything under your hood, right? Working properly. So
that's exactly right.
Your mechanic is going to be your urologist in this sense. So I mean, the whole purpose of the show is for people to just go out and get checked, right? Like that's what you want to really drive home, that whatever issues that we've talked about on these past episodes, you can't know anything until you start seeing that doctor. And then maybe you can then take the next step and go and see a urologist.
Yeah, absolutely. As we've talked about, I think if there's any take home from a prostate and prostate cancer standpoint over these last couple of episodes, it is, you know, for every guy that's listening, certainly guys who are 45 years or older, have you had a PSA blood test done? Has it been done in the past year?
Sure.
And is somebody keeping an eye on that? Because that's the fundamental thing about prostate health, which is really the gateway to a lot of these men's health topics that we've been talking about.
How is it for you being in your profession with the men in your family? Do they talk with you about these things?
You know, it's interesting. They do. You know, I get emails and texts all the time from guys, you know, with questions. And what's funny is you know, whether they always follow my advice or not, I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, absolutely, they do reach out.
So, you know, we talked about erectile dysfunction and what are the causes, what are the treatments, what are the risks involved with that, and we've been talking about prostate cancer as well, and one of the side effects that not a lot of people like to talk about is male incontinence. And just if you could just go back before we're done here today and give a brief overview of where do you go? Like when that is happening to you and you're feeling embarrassed about it and you know you're going to have to go and see your urologist, what do you lay out there for everybody to just give us the overview there?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, first of all, it's much more common than guys would believe. I mean, you know, again, as we talked about earlier, you wouldn't see commercials on TV constantly for Depends if this wasn't something that unfortunately is very common for guys to experience.
Sure.
You know, as guys, our prostate gland really does two things in life. It helps to control our urine flow, and it's a sexual organ. The prostate actually produces most of the fluid that comes out at the time of ejaculation. So any time that we mess around with the prostate gland. Oftentimes, of course, these treatments that we talk about for prostate cancer are life-saving and absolutely essential, but they carry with them the potential risk for urinary leakage and troubles potentially with our erections as well. So getting in to see the urologist, getting in to talk to somebody about these symptoms when they are occurring is obviously the cornerstone of fixing the problem. That's the direction we have to go to get better. When guys come to see me in the office, hopefully the first thing I can impress on them is that this is a common problem. This is something that in my line of work, I see, you know, dozens of times, literally every day in the operating room. This is something that I'm fixing, you know, every time that I'm in the operating room. And so so that's really what we're here for, is to just to help guys live a better quality of life.
And that's what we're doing here on this show. And, you know, you mentioned something back there. I'm wondering, can men suffer from urinary incontinence and not suffer from ED, and then vice versa, suffer from ED but not the other? Does that happen?
Yeah, that's
a
great question. You know, it can. In general, I would say erectile dysfunction is a more common thing for guys to develop after, for example, prostate cancer treatment than urinary leakage. Only about 10% of guys are going to be leaking enough that we're talking about a sling or a sphincter or something along those lines at about a year after finishing prostate cancer treatment. Unfortunately, the numbers for erectile dysfunction are far higher. Anywhere between 25 and 75% of guys are going to be having some trouble with their erections. So it's pretty common to talk to guys who are having trouble with their erections, and maybe not as much with their urination. Although unfortunately, of course, many men suffer from both.
So we've got just a couple minutes left here on this episode, and I'm sad about that because Dr. Rick Taylor, he's been fantastic to talk to. He's with the Central Ohio Urology Group. And the last thing about what we're talking about, were there very many risks if someone's going to either get that sling you were talking about or the AUS? Any big risks involved there?
Sure. Absolutely. That's a great point. And we do have to say, anytime we make an opening in the skin, there are risks of bleeding and infection. Bleeding risk with both of these things, extraordinarily low. Infection also very rare, but like with any implant, infection risk is something that we take very seriously. So we have lots of, shall we say, tricks up our sleeve to minimize that risk, but that's something we have to be aware of. Erosion can occur. That is to say that an artificial device can end up elsewhere in the urinary tract, for example, where we don't want it to be. And that's why it's so important to see somebody who does this kind of an operation on a regular basis, which means you're going to get the best outcomes from the standpoint of not only the quality of the experience, but also to minimize the risks of things that are involved.
Sure.
And like any mechanical device, the last thing I would say is there's a certain mechanical failure rate, which is to say over time, things may not work as well as they did at first. And if that's the case, we have other options that we can explore.
And it can be fixed. And that's, your urologist is absolutely certainly going to be able to take care of you. Well, Dr. Rick Taylor, just want to say thank you for joining us on these last couple episodes. Very informative. Very nice of you to give your time. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
Absolutely, it has. And everybody, check back for more information about future episodes. And as always, go to 971thefan.com to click on past episodes. This has been Men's Health Matters.